Fearing prison in communist Czechoslovakia, in March 1950, Oldřich Doležal and other ex-RAF aviators simultaneously kidnapped three planes on internal flights and escaped to West Germany. On board one of those planes was Doležal's son, then just an infant. Today, Tom Doležal runs the Czechoslovak Free Air Force website and is an authority on the Czechs and Slovaks who served in the RAF. We spoke at the Battle of Britain Memorial in Folkestone, overlooking the English Channel. Tom Doležal first told me about his father's part in the greatest mission of the RAF's Czechoslovak 311 bomber squadron, the downing of the German ship, the Alsterrufer, in 1943.
It was a blockade runner. What these blockade runners were doing, they were bringing in basic raw materials from the Far East. In the case of the Alsterrufer, the ship had actually come from Japan. Fortunately, at Bletchley Park, they had broken the Kriegsmarine Enigma code, which is one of the hardest, or was the hardest. But they actually traced the Alsterrufer on its voyage from Japan. They didn't know what was on it, but they were intent that it did not arrive into Europe. And on the morning of the 27th of December 1943, six of 311 Squadron's Liberators were instructed to fly out to a particular area, which was effectively the Atlantic approach into the Bay of Biscay. They were flying in like a fan shape, so on the basis that at least one of them should stand a chance of locating. The weather was atrocious. Mid-flight, four of the aircraft were actually called back. My father was on the verge of turning back, and through a gap in the clouds, they saw a ship. He started to circle around, and the ship started to fire at him, which was normally an indication it was an enemy ship. They were now flying at about 3,000 feet. They dropped to about 800 feet, and they dived down from that altitude towards the ship to an altitude of about 500 feet. On the approach to the ship, they fired eight rockets, and then Zdeněk Hanuš, who was the navigator come bomb aimer, dropped the two bombs. Five of the rockets hit the ship, three above the waterline. The 250-pound bomb fell short, but the 500-pound bomb hit the tail of the ship, exploded and caused havoc. One of the engines on the Liberator had been slightly damaged in the attack, so rather than waiting to see the outcome, they could see the ship was aflame. The crew were already starting to abandon ship. They flew back. The attack lasted 30 seconds, and when they got back to Bewley, the squadron was waiting for them, and it was drinks all round.
I hate to jump so quickly, so far forward, but after the war, your father returned to Czechoslovakia. Was he, like many of his colleagues, mistreated by the communists?
Well, after the war, initially he returned back to Barta to fly. He met my mother. My mother was Prague-based, and so he then rejoined Czech Airlines. He was actually hijacked on an internal flight in 1948, flown to Erding in Germany. Because my mother was pregnant at the time, he returned. But even though he was known to have pro-Western views, he wasn't actually arrested at that time. But gradually, as we started to approach 1950, those airmen who hadn't been arrested knew it was only going to be a matter of time. And so he realised that he would have to escape. And so in March, or in the lead up to March 1950, my father instigated with two of his pilot colleagues. One was Ladislav Svetlík and the other was Vita Angita, about an escape. What was happening at the time was that the Czech authorities wouldn't allow a whole family to go onto a plane. So what had been arranged was that Svetlík would fly one of the aircraft from Ostrava, where my mother and I was on, and my father would be flying another plane from Bratislava.
They hijacked these planes?
Oh, they hijacked.
It's really such a dramatic story.
It's the world's first triple hijack. And you had a case of where there were eight former RAF airmen amongst the air crews then, and a total of 27 people, including 19 of the passengers. Some of them knew that about the escape, that's why they were there. Others, there were two others who were, shall we say, opportunists. You know, the fact they landed in Germany, they were going to stay there. What was particularly tragic, though, was Vita Angita's plane, because he was the first to, because he flew from Brno, effectively from Brno to Prague, but they just flew west to Erding. Vit Angertu was the co-pilot in the plane, and he took control of the plane. The captain of the plane was Joseph Klesnell, who had been planning his own escape. Klesnell realised that with this hijack, his chance of his own escape was not going to happen, and so he got very upset about it, but that was just unfortunate. Klesnell, because he was married, his wife was also expecting, he returned to Czechoslovakia at a very hard time with the STB, and they actually detained him for about 3 months. The night he was released, he went home, got his wife, and they went north and crossed the border. But that was the first triple hijack in the world.
Did they use violence, or how did they actually take the planes?
No, there's no violence. Unfortunately, with social media, there was a lot of misinformation put out about that escape. What was alleged to have happened was that Angertu held a gun to Klesnell's head. That wasn't actually the case. The story, if you read and believe what you see on the internet, is that Klesnell flew the plane from Brno to Erding. He had a gun to his head the whole time. What actually happened was that two of the crew, because the Dakota aircraft had a crew of four, two of them were known to be communists. Klesnell was concerned about, he knew he was going to have to go back, he was concerned that if he came over as being cooperative in escape, he was going to have a hard time. And so whilst the other two crew were being tied up in the back, Angertu was holding a gun to his head, full stop. Once the two were tied up and out of the way, no more guns involved. On the Ostrava plane, it was a case of whereby the captain was Ladislav Svetlik. In the passengers, he had Viktor Popelka, who was also in on the conspiracy. Shortly after takeoff, Svetlik left the cockpit to go down to the toilet at the back of the plane. He winked at Popelka. Popelka went up, because Popelka also flew for Czech Airlines. In the cockpit were two other former RAF people as well, and so it wasn't unusual. So Popelka sat in the captain's seat. Mechir was in the co-pilot seat, effectively flying the plane at the time. Svetlik came back and disposed of the other two airmen, again by tying them up, and then they put Mechir back there as well. And in the case of my father's plane, all four of the crew were involved in the escape, so there was no... all they did was just lock the cabin door to ensure that no one could come through. That was it. There was no violence as such.
When did you first learn about it, as a child or as a teenager? And what did your dad tell you about it? Or your parents?
I think the best way of describing that is that post-war, we were in London after our escape, and there was actually a little Czech community in London, all former RAF people who had escaped. And occasionally you'd listen to bits and pieces they're saying. You'd hear about the walking over the board or they're taking aircrafts and that. I know my father was particularly concerned about flying anywhere near what was the Iron Curtain then, because there's always the risk of hijack. There was also numerous stories of people having escaped and being kidnapped back. And you began to think, well, this is a little odd, you know, other people haven't got this. And then slowly over the years, the story came out. It was a story which my father didn't really want to say too much about because it was a very bitter story.
I suppose it wasn't really until after 1989 that the Czechoslovak airmen got due recognition in the Czech Republic, or in Czechoslovakia then and now the Czech Republic. How do you view the level of respect that's afforded to them today? Are they sufficiently recognised for what they achieved, do you think?
I think what happened in 1991 on the 13th of September at the rehabilitation ceremony was long overdue. That was basically where the airmen were rehabilitated back into Czechoslovak life. Some of the descendants in the West very much take the attitude with the Czech authorities that needed rehabilitating, but it was certainly a gesture. It was certainly a case of the authorities in 1989-91 were trying to make amends for it. For many, it was too late. They'd already died and never returned to their homeland. What was quite nice as well at the time was many of them received promotions as such. But what is a little bizarre is this practice of subsequent promotions. The classic example I tend to give to people here is that we've talked about Joseph František. During the RAF, he was a sergeant. Post-1991, he was promoted to a colonel. He achieved 17 aircrafts during the Battle of Britain, the most recognised Battle of Britain pilot for that. At Brookwood, there is one of the headstones there, a man written across his headstone, colonel in the Czech Air Force. His rank in the RAF was actually an LAC-2, which is the second lowest rank, but he's a colonel now. And for a youngster coming to inquire about the RAF now, they have two men, both of whom are colonels in the Czech Air Force, and the contribution both had made was quite different. So this aspect to it doesn't go down too well in some cases.
Generally, how do you view the actions of your father's generation? I know the Americans called them the greatest generation. What's your view of what they achieved?
All those Czechoslovaks who were here in the RAF and also in the army, they left their homeland voluntarily. War was never declared between Czechoslovakia and Germany. When, for instance, France capitulated, Holland, Belgium, Poland, all those military forces were leaving as military units. The Czechs were leaving as individuals. And so you must take into account what type of person would actually go and do that. They weren't under orders, they were doing it voluntarily. And so you must give them a lot of respect for actually doing that, because there were many who didn't. Many paid the final price for it, but you have to give them special recognition for voluntarily going for this. And because of that valour, patriotism, in 1948 they were prosecuted, imprisoned, and suffered because of it.